Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the family of a Donegal man who died in Elton na Gailvin Hospital in 1973 has requested a fresh inquest into his death. The Dáil has heard calls for an immediate halt to the downgrading of remediation work recommendations for homes affected by defective concrete. Crime rates for the second quarter of this year have been released by the CSO. In the northwestern region, there's been a 66% increase in drug driving offences. And the Cluny Road between Derry and Limavady is currently closed to traffic in both directions due to a road traffic collision. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport. That'll be at around 5:15. And Chris Ashmore has the latest farming news and views. That will be after the obituary notices. First up in news. The Dáil has heard for immediate call to the halt of downgrading of remediation works and recommendations for homes affected by defective concrete. It follows concerns that private engineer reports are being overruled by engineers from the housing agency based on the discredited IS 465 standard. The National Standards Authority of Ireland has confirmed that the IS 465 is undergoing revision to address other compounds found in the defective concrete beyond just mica. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin has argued the overruling of private engineer reports should be suspended until the new standard is finalised, something the Taoiseach has committed to discuss with the Housing Minister.
Taoiseach, the standard that underpins the defective concrete block scheme is IS 465. So it's widely agreed that the standard is now not fit for purpose. Indeed, it's discredited. Despite this, engineers acting on behalf of the state, for the housing agency, have overruled recommendations over 100 from engineers, qualified engineers, representing homeowners. We now have confirmation from the National Standards Authority of Ireland that the standard IS 465 will be amended. So this standard will now take account of pyrrhotite and terminal sulphate attacks. So I'm asking you, Taoiseach, and your colleague, the Minister for Housing, to urgently ask the engineers in the Housing Agency to pause this overruling that has no credibility and to wait for the outcome of the National Standards Authority of Ireland to have a standard that we can trust and that we can move forward together.
Yeah, I will discuss this with the Minister for Housing. I mean, the government has been very anxious to progress this scheme, to get houses remediated and repaired and restored and built anew, if that's required. So certainly I would talk to the Minister, but that's the agenda of the government, is to work with people to get these houses.
So you will pause this practice?
Well, I didn't say that, no, Deputy. I said I will talk to the Minister. He's dealing with this in a more detailed
manner.
The Cluny Road between Derry and Limavady is currently closed to traffic in both directions due to a road traffic collision. Diversions are in place in the Ballygudden Road roundabout at Eglinton for Limavady bound traffic and the Ballykelly Road roundabout at Limavady for Derry. The family of a Donegal man who died at Elton na Gailvin Hospital in 1973 has requested a fresh inquest into his death. John O'Sullivan, a customs and excise officer, died at the hospital's intensive care unit following a crash. Michaela Clark has more.
The family of John O'Sullivan are raising questions over his death, given that he had been assessed upon arrival at Elton na Gailvin Hospital of having a reasonable chance of recovery. It's understood at the same time two police officers were admitted to the same ICU following a Republican paramilitary attack. Mr. O'Sullivan's family said they understand he died when his assisted breathing apparatus became disconnected. They said there was no RUC investigation into his death in hospital and an open verdict was later recorded by the local coroner. His family also said they have been refused a request by the Northern Ireland Office for a public inquiry. They are now requesting that the Attorney General for Northern Ireland directs the coroner to conduct a fresh inquest into his death to answer what they say are inconsistencies, discrepancies and questions which could be addressed by a way of a coronial investigation.
Crime rates for the second quarter of this year have been released by the CSO. Nationally, there'd been a fall in homicide and related offences, offences against government justice procedures and organisation, as well as sexual offences. Meanwhile, burglary and related offences seen an increase, as did fraud, deception and such related offences. Donal Kavanagh has a breakdown of the Northwest figures.
In this region, drug driving offences have increased by 66% to 189 from 114 in the second quarter of last year. Meanwhile, drink driving offences have risen by 4% to a total of 351. Fraud, deception and related offences have increased by 18% to 577. Additionally, the number of sexual offences has risen by 14% to a total of 223. Damage to property and the environment has fallen 13% to 952. There have been 1,200 attempts or threats to murder, assault, harassment and other related offences, a decline of 11%. Weapons and explosives offences have dropped by 8% and controlled drugs offences have fallen by 7% to 100 and 593 respectively. Finally, there were 2,187 theft and related offences, down 5% from 2,294 the previous year. A full breakdown is available on our website, highlandradio.com.
522 people have contacted the Gardaí regarding abuse at schools following the publication of a scoping inquiry earlier this month. The investigation found there were nearly 2,400 allegations at more than 300 schools that were run by religious orders. The Garda Commissioner says the majority of contacts they've received have been from men and regarded sexual abuse. Speaking at a policing authority meeting, Drew Harris says there are processes to follow.
Responding to these initial contacts and the subsequent investigation. And again, we've already issued two appeals and we would reiterate that today in terms of those individuals who wish to make contact with us, either as victims or indeed witnesses, that they should do so. Secondly, an analysis of the scoping report itself.
Deputy Thomas Pringle has welcomed legislation to introduce digital health records to the healthcare service, but stressed the need for robust protections to ensure that the information gathered is safeguarded and secure. Speaking on the second stage of the Health Information Bill, Deputy Pringle said digital records will help address some of the concerns expressed by nearly 80 Donegal GPs in a letter last year to the Health Minister. However, he emphasised the importance of exercising caution to protect people's information, especially when records are shared with healthcare services across the border.
The regulation creates a possibility to use health data for secondary purposes, which opens up the opportunity to use health data in the public interest, such as development of public policy, but also as well perhaps for the sale to private interests, or as the Government of Ireland works, give the private interests the information for free. The Minister needs to ensure that this is adequately addressed before this legislation is allowed to progress. The Minister also must ensure compliance with the data protection regulations and ensure that our citizens' health data is as protected and as secure as possible. I would also have concerns regarding reciprocal arrangements with other jurisdictions. I understand the need to share information to healthcare providers in the north, for example. I have many constituents in Donegal who would benefit hugely from their medical records being accessible to healthcare providers in the north, given that we are a border county. However, we must be strict on our terms and the purposes for which this information could be used should be extremely limited. Obviously, the 2021 HSE cyber attacks are a concern, and I don't wish to scaremonger in any way, and I know that Ireland is leading in terms of cyber security practice, but we know health is a prime target for cybercrime and cyber attacks, and are not only extremely costly, but they can make our citizens feel violated and vulnerable as well. Lastly, I wonder if we have sufficient internet connection for a national digital health system. The truth is, we don't in Donegal. I have raised this many times, but there are large parts of Donegal that are still without fibre broadband, and it is one of the many ways that we remain the forgotten county. And the sad reality is that Donegal will continue to be a laggard, as significant investment in communications infrastructure and healthcare are not prioritised.
A prominent cervical check campaigner says new legislation on disclosure in the healthcare system mean patients and families will no longer be left in the dark. The law, which comes into effect from today, means patients are entitled to a review of their diagnosis. Stephen Teep lost his wife Irene to cervical cancer in July of 2017, and he went on to co-found the 221 Plus campaign group. He's described the legislation as a major milestone and welcomes the built-in review for 2 years' time.
People in the past would have to fight for information, request it, and that information, as we've seen in other very serious stories over the years, isn't always provided, or it's provided too late, or it has to go to court for information to be shared. Now it's the law, now it has to be done. What's great about this one is that the minister will be reviewing it, and it's written in this law, in 2 years' time. So any adjustments, amendments that have to be made to make improvements on, and there are improvements that do need to be made, can be also taken into consideration in 2 years' time. So a very, very significant step forward for patients.
The Lough Swilly or Nilly lifeboat was called into action yesterday afternoon to assist an unwell fisherman. The multi-agency response has been commended, with the crew having launched in under 4 minutes. With more, here's Barry White.
At 2:27pm, the lifeboat was tasked by the Malinhead Coast Guard to respond to a report of a local fisherman experiencing chest pains on his boat. A passing vessel had raised the alarm. The all-weather lifeboat was launched and quickly reached the casualty, not far from Rathmullen Pier. The crew boarded the vessel, administered first aid, and decided to escort the fisherman to Fawn Marina, where an ambulance was waiting. Once the fisherman was safely handed over to the paramedics, the lifeboat crew returned to Buncrana Pier to refuel and prepare for further service. The RNLI are reminding the public that should they find themselves in trouble at sea or spot someone else in need, to dial 999 or 112 and ask for the Coast Guard.
The time's now just coming to 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15 here in Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Anna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And Stephen Bradley has once again hit out at the standard of refereeing in the League of Ireland. The Shamrock Rovers manager singled out Damien McGrath after he awarded Derry City a contentious late penalty last week. The refereeing body has criticised Bradley's response, but the Rovers manager is doubling down on his comments.
Well, players dive around the world in every game. I watched Bode Glimt last night. Their player tries to go down in the box for a penalty and he's sent off. Because again, it's like Patrick McLennan's, there's no contact and the referee's strong enough, blows the whistle, gives him a second yellow and sends him off. So for me, the blame is firmly on the referee and the linesman, because like I said, it was worrying that they gave that decision.
Spurs boss Ange Postecoglou feels being back in Europe as part of the new Europa League format will help his team develop. This season, each club will face 8 different teams as they look to advance to the last 16 of the competition. Postecoglou is looking forward to the challenge, starting with a tie against Azerbaijan champions Karabag this evening.
Yeah, European football, you're meeting teams that probably play a little bit differently, and sometimes, obviously tomorrow is at home, but sometimes in conditions that we don't usually face up at too. But ultimately it's about sort of playing our football, being as aggressive as we can with everything we do.
Kickoff at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is at 7:45. Elsewhere in the Europa League, Rangers are away to Malmo in Sweden. That one gets underway at the earlier time of 5:45. And at the same time, Jose Mourinho's Fenerbahce play Union SG of Belgium. Moving on to golf, Spain's own Ángel Hidalgo has stormed into the lead of day one at the Open de España. He's the course leader on 7 under par with 6 holes still to play. As things stand, Hidalgo is 3 clear of clubhouse leader Justin Guerrier. It was a rough start for Shane Lowry, who opened with a 4 over par round of 75. In Gaelic games, the Tyrone Senior Football Championship continues this evening. The first round replay between Killy Clougher and Carrick Moore will take place at Healy Park in Omagh. That game throws in at 7:30 this evening. In horse racing, the Cheltenham Festival have confirmed they are freezing ticket prices after offering discounts for next year's race meeting. The 4-day event in March saw its lowest attendance across the week in at least a decade. Organisers have also announced charges to some races during the festival, which they hope will increase interest. In rugby, Leinster head coach Leo Cullen has hailed Kian Healy as a remarkable individual. The prop will become the province's most capped ever player when he starts tomorrow night's URC fixture with the Dragons. The game at the Aviva will be Healy's 281st appearance, and Cullen believes there's many more to come.
No, they do need your core skills and be able to do it the way he has done it for so long and still be going strong, most importantly. So, you know, sometimes when the players hit these milestones, you start thinking at the end. But no, so it's phenomenal, yeah. So it'll be a while before he has to pass on the baton to somebody else anyway.
Finally, we are football focused on the Score programme this evening. Keith Cowan will join us for our weekly League of Ireland chat. The opening series of league games in the Donegal Junior League will take place this weekend. We'll hear from Nigel Ferry, and former Glengad United and current ATU Donegal manager Shane Byrne will take a look at footballing matters in Inishowen. That's all on The Score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now. The rain is clearing south this evening. Northerly winds will be fresh and gusty with strong winds on the east coast. Highest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees. It will become largely dry tonight and cloud will break. Fresh to strong and gusty northerly winds will gradually ease too with lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. Meanwhile, tomorrow will be a brighter and drier day with sunny spells and just a few showers and highest temperatures of 10 to 12 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, the family of a Donegal man who died at Elton McGelvin Hospital in 1973 has requested a fresh inquest into his death. John O'Sullivan, a customs and excise officer, died in the hospital's intensive care unit following a crash. The Dáil has heard calls for an immediate halt to the downgrading of remediation work recommendations for homes affected by defective concrete. This follows concerns that private engineer reports are being overruled by engineers from the Housing Agency based on the discredited IS 465 standard. The National Standards Authority of Ireland has confirmed that the IS 465 is undergoing revision to address other compounds found in defective concrete beyond just mica. Crime rates for the second quarter of this year have been released by the CSO. In the northwestern region, there's been a 66% increase in drug driving offences. And finally, the Clooney Road between Derry and Limavady is currently closed to traffic in both directions due to a traffic collision. Diversions are in place at the Ballygutton Road roundabout at Eglinton for Limavady bound traffic and the Ballykelly Road roundabout at Limavady for Derry. That's all for now from the news desk. Chris Ashmore will be with you for all farm news after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 26th of September. The death has taken place of Jim Conwell, 16, Brownhill Park, Glenmoran, reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St. Joseph's Church, Glenmoran at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has occurred of Rita Bradley, 35, Woodlawn, Stranorer, formerly of Rosslare, County Wexford. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorer at 11 o'clock, interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
New data released by the National Parks and Wildlife Service to the Irish Deer Commission shows that 78,175 wild deer were culled in the 12-month period up to February the 28th of 2023. Now, this cull sets a record for the number of wild deer culled, up 41% from the previous record. According to the Irish Deer Commission, over the last 5 years, more than a quarter of a million wild deer were culled in Ireland under licence. And Highland Radio has learned that in Donegal, there were 2,704 wild deer culled during the latest 12-month period. However, the actual deer cull is likely to be significantly higher, as that total does not include wild deer killed illegally, essentially deer poaching, nor does it include the growing number of deer killed on our roads. According to the Irish Deer Commission, it is important to manage deer at sustainable levels to minimise negative impacts on farming, forestry and the wider ecosystem. Well, the good weather of last week was certainly a welcome boost to the farming sector. To find out more, I've been speaking with Newton Cunningham, tillage farmer and Irish Farmers Journal Renewables editor Stephen Robb.
Look, it was an absolute godsend, to be honest. If we didn't get that week to 10 days of good weather, it's really hard to say where we would be at today, because there was so much activity in the fields right across the county and right across the country. It was the saviour of the spring cereals harvest. Cereals were cut in good order. Straw was baled in good order. Crops actually yielded quite surprisingly well for spring crops. And that was probably the best news story off the tillage year, really. But then equally on the livestock end, there's a lot of silage made. There's some hay made in parts of the country. And of course, there's a lot of slurry put out. So look, it just meant that a lot of the work that was, you know, there was a backlog of work to be done. A lot of it was caught up on. Certainly, we would have liked to have another week or two of it, but as farmers, are we ever satisfied with dry weather? But certainly, it was an incredibly busy week, 10 days, and great to get it. Ground is in relatively good order now for trying to get winter crops in again. Spring crops really did surprise a lot of us right around the country, because they were put in quite late. Certainly, you know, very late for most parts of the country. Not massively late up here compared to what we're used to, but you know, there's some very, very good yields reported all around the country, and certainly when you take in what is probably the real success story of the 2024 cereal harvest, it was malt and barley, because we had high pasture rates around the country and up in our own county here in Donegal, and there's a decent premium as well over feed barley, so you know there's going to be a margin made on that, and you know, only for a good spring harvest, that will be a really dire year altogether in cereals, and then obviously on the straw end of things as well. Straw supply was very tight. We saw the debacle around the straw incorporation measure and the backtracking that was done on that. But straw is certainly a strong trade if you're a tillage farmer, and too expensive if you're a livestock farmer. But look, every bit of it is needed, unfortunately, to prop up tillage incomes for this year.
And Stephen, there's a big tillage event coming up in November, which is worth putting into the diary.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the Irish Farmers Journal's first National Tillage Conference, which we're holding on Thursday the 7th of November in the Killisey Hotel in Leith. Look, I guess this is really about kind of highlighting the positives of the industry and kind of where the sector is going forward. It's sponsored by the Irish Seed Trade Association, and we have quite a good lineup of agronomists and farmers and people in the trade and grain trade, etc., all lined up to talk throughout today and engage in discussions. And we're going to have a trade stand there as well. I'll be down there. Tillage editor Siobhan Walsh will be down there, and a good few other names from the journal will be knocking around as well. So, yeah, look, it should be a good day out. It's going to be something different, and it'll be great to see everyone in the tillage game down at it from up here.
Yeah. Now, just putting your renewables hat back on again, a couple of important deadlines are looming.
Yes. So, I suppose the biggest news really in the renewable space over the past couple of weeks is we have seen the first, you know, real form of support from the government into anaerobic digestion. So there's a €40 million capital grant scheme announced a number of months ago. So that's basically to contribute to 20% of the build cost of a new anaerobic digestion plant. And the first, I suppose, letter of offers for successful applicants to that grant scheme have been issued just last Friday, and they have 2 weeks to decide whether or not they're going to accept the grant or let it go. If they accept the grant, then they have until the end of next year to build their anaerobic digestion plant. That's going to be very, very tight, very, very challenging for any project that hasn't already started just yet. There's 23 applications to the grant scheme. We know that about 18, 19 of those were eligible for the grant scheme, and how many were actually offered the grant, we don't know yet. The department haven't told us, and that's because if someone refuses it, then there's kind of a backlog, or there's a list, so there is of projects waiting. So, yeah, look, it's suppose this is the start. It's good to see things moving. There will be further grant schemes coming along from 2026 onwards. In our own county here, there are applications in and there are projects underway. It's good to see the sector finally moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and just to explain to people who may be not familiar with it, just give us a brief outline of the whole process.
Anaerobic digestion, really simple and tried and tested technology. 20,000 of these types of facilities operational around Europe. Basically, what it involves is putting organic matter, so slurry or crops or even waste, food waste, into a sealed metal or concrete tank. You heat it up, you let the bugs do their magic, and biogas is released. The biogas then can be cleaned, the CO2 removed, and other gases removed, and what you're left with is biomethane, which is chemically identical to fossil fuel natural gas and can be used as a direct replacement. The CO2 can be captured and used in the food industry, as a renewable form of CO2. And then on the other end of the process, you have digestate, which is a biofertilizer. So we can use that to grow our crops or to grow our grass without having to use as much chemical fertilizer as what we are at the moment. So big push, big drive on at the moment by the government to get these types of facilities up and running right across the country. They want 200 of them operational by the end of the decade. There's a couple in operation in Donegal at the moment, one under construction and a few more in the planning system. So, yeah, it's a new industry. It's going to provide, hopefully, new opportunities for farmers as well. So good to see it moving in the right direction.
And that was Newton Cunningham, tillage farmer and Irish Farmers Journal renewables editor Stephen Robb. In other news, a revamp of Bord Bia's quality assurance schemes could be on the cards next year. A minimum lying space for animals and submission of geotagged photographs of cattle at the time of purchase are among the new measures proposed, according to a report in this week's Irish Farmers Journal. Mandatory low-emission slurry spreading, minimum areas for biodiversity, and the mandatory use of painkillers and anaesthetics for dehorning and castration could also form part of the updated scheme. Finally, the total attendance figure for the 93rd National Ploughing Championships came to a massive 244,000 people over the 3 days, according to figures just released. That was an increase of more than 43,000 when compared with last year. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.